Welcome to Finding Our Way. My name's James. My good friend Larry and myself are inviting you to join us in the conversations that we're having of our journey to finding our way to the goodness of God. God is good. God is love. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses against them. So come on, let's go. The party has already started.
He did for all, and he did completely, decisively, and emphatically, and it is ours.
I was going to ask what all of Jesus got put in the tomb.
Yeah.
Buried.
Everything. All the old went in, and only the new came out, is one way of looking at that.
New life. That's right.
It's a new life. Okay, another term in the New Testament is New Covenant, which Testament and Covenant's basically the same thing. Not technically, but basically it is.
Yeah.
In that, in the New Covenant, the old went away. There is a new way in which God is relating to us. That old covenant was a temporary way that God related to us because that was all we could fathom or gather at the time. That law covenant, we insisted on it, and God kind of played along with us for a while to show us the futility of it so we could learn by experience and then also out of that value and appreciate the new covenant. But in the new covenant, first of all, God cuts a covenant with himself. He just included us in it. We had no part to play in it. This is something he did. I think that's illustrated in that ancient story of Abraham, where God gets ready to cut a covenant, and Abraham lays the animals out there, and next thing you know, Abraham's asleep over here, and God walks through the middle of it. And that's all the contribution we had, is we were dead. That's what sleep was symbolic of, the fact we were dead.
That's right.
And in our, while we were dead in trespass and sin, God came to us and he brought us to life and quickened us and give us his life.
Yes.
And then, all right, I'm going to refer to you, put you on the spot about what's in that new covenant that Jeremiah talked about that is in the book of Hebrews. What did he, what did God say he was going to do?
Everything right there in Hebrews 7.
Yeah. Well, what's
verse 8. Well, he talks about how, and a part of that passage, he talks about what you said with that this old is passing away.
Right.
That the new might come. But he says he will write his laws on their minds and in their heart, and that he would be our God, and that we would be his people. In that passage, that's what he's saying. That. So God is doing it all in that new covenant.
Yeah.
As he describes it, he does everything.
Yeah.
So he's written his laws on our hearts and on our minds, and put it in our hearts, in our minds. I don't know if there's something else in there. I hadn't read that passage recently.
Yeah.
But it's a done deal. Where we get hung up, I think, is somehow or another we did something so bad that we got so far away from God that we have to do something to get back.
Yeah, well, that's the life separation.
Yeah, because before the foundation of the world, we were associated in Christ, before him in love. That's what it says.
Yes.
Holy in his eye.
Yeah.
Right there in his face.
Yes. That's our our current position is, and because of Jesus, we can rest assured.
Yes.
It's eternally secure.
Yes.
And anything that might interfere, hinder, take away from it was cured at the cross.
That's right. That's right. That's what the judgment Paul talked about when he preached in Acts 17.
Yeah.
God has given assurance to all men.
Yeah.
By raising Jesus from the dead.
Yeah.
And that's the assurance that we're right with God, and it's going to be a righteous judgment.
Yeah.
That day that Paul's talking about in Acts 17, because of what Jesus has done, it's going to be according to the gospel.
Right. Yeah, this is the good news.
Explain that, because we've taken it and said, well, you got to believe it. That's what makes it. You know, it's not good news if you don't receive it.
Right.
That's not what Paul's talking about. His gospel. What is the good news? Good news is it's not a transactional thing. God did all the transacting.
Yes. Right. The Father has done something for His children.
That's right.
And His children got here by the will of the Father.
Not the will of man or the will of flesh.
Right.
John 1.
That's right. And
the good news is you're in. Jesus is the revelation of your inness and gives assurance. God has given assurance by raising Him from the dead, saying, this is my beloved Son, and this is the last Adam. As in Christ, as in Adam, so in Christ, we're all included.
Yes.
That's what's so difficult to believe. We don't have a problem believing we got included in Adam. Oh, boy, we just saw it, you know.
Well, that was the other thing.
Included in Christ.
All right. So just back up to your, we don't have a problem believing we got included in Adam.
That's right.
But if I could say it this way, I don't even know if it's going to come out right. It wasn't by our believing that we got included in Adam.
It was not.
Okay. So then why do we want to go over here to Jesus, who is much more than Adam?
Yeah.
And say, well, yeah, He's much more, but you got to believe it to get in on it.
What kind of grace is that?
Yeah. God saves you by your grace, but it's conditioned upon your faith. Which I understand. I walked that tightrope and pulled that rabbit out of a hat many times.
We're not saying you don't have faith. We're not saying you don't believe.
That's right.
We're just saying God has done it.
Yes, the good news is God has done something that included you.
Yes, when He reveals the good news of who you are in Christ, you awaken to it.
Yeah.
Believe it. Yeah. Get in on it. You get to participate in it.
Well, there's faith comes by hearing by the Word of God. And we begin to believe when we behold what Christ has done here. The Spirit say to us, this is true. And we begin, I understand the role. I say I understand. I get the fact that faith plays a role in our life.
Yeah.
I'm not knocking that. It's how we get in or awaken to or experience what is really true.
Yeah.
How we start really living like we're His children.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, because I think it's the revelation, really, that is key. Because, I mean, how much faith does it take for me to believe I'm my father's son, Robert Alderman?
Well, yeah.
One day in my journey, I got old enough and became aware of who my daddy was.
Right.
And that relationship. It's kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
I find in nature and in life, there are lots of pictures of that.
Yeah.
That are in the first natural, then spiritual. So we're all in.
Yeah. Well, there were many days that I didn't want to act like my daddy's son. Wished he wasn't, but in reality, I always was.
There's nothing you could do about it.
Yeah, there was nothing I could do about it, regardless of how much I misbehaved.
Yeah, you can even, in the day that we live in, you can go as a child and divorce your parents and become legally not their child, but it doesn't change the reality of the court of heaven. God was in Christ reconciling the world. He came on our side of the fence, as it were, on the inside, and lived that relationship out with his Father as us and for us, as a man. Mm-hmm. And all that he did was on our behalf as us, as a man, as in Adam. God began and included the whole human race was in Adam. Well, there's the last Adam, Jesus.
Yeah.
And he has gathered us all up.
Yes.
And set us at the table.
Yeah.
We can fellowship with him. There's another song I just thought about. We're talking about come and go with me to my Father's house.
Yeah.
It's a big, big house. But what we need to understand is we're the house.
Yes, you are God's house.
He's right here.
We're going to talk about hope.
Subjected in hope. You going to read that?
See,
that goes back to this idea of what a wonderful world.
What a wonderful world.
And he put us here just to make it better. Learn how to work with him and make things manifest ideally. That's something manifest, pull something, as it were, out of his heart, cause it to manifest this wonderful world.
I'm gonna back way up.
Oh my.
Yeah, might as well. I am convinced that any suffering we endure is less than nothing compared to the magnitude of glory that is about to be unveiled within us. Okay. I guess I could, in my mind, tie that together some of our previous conversation about how that when we are, patience is having its work, it's actually unveiling a greater glory
within us.
Yeah. You feel like you're suffering because you don't understand what you're going through.
Yeah.
You know, I guess I could compare that to the little child who wants a piece of cake, and you say, you can't have a piece of cake because we're about to eat dinner.
Yeah.
And the child is crying and throwing a fit, and it feels like it's suffering because they don't understand.
Eat a nasty dinner.
Yeah. Anyway, that's probably a poor illustration, but
no,
anyway.
I follow you.
Okay, here it is. The entire universe is standing on tiptoe.
Yeah.
Yearning to see the unveiling of God's glorious sons and daughters.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
Well, that's the thing, is that this creation's waiting on us to get our act together.
Yeah.
God's done something. He's fixed us.
Yeah.
And the more we live into that and live out the gospel, the more it's reflected in the physical world and the society in which we live.
Yes, that's right.
For against its will, the universe itself has had to endure the empty futility resulting from the consequences of human sin. Yeah.
Futility.
Yeah.
What
but
verse
now,
is that?
That was, I don't know, 20, I think.
Okay.
All right. But now, with eager expectation, all creation longs for freedom from its slavery to decay and to experience with us the wonderful freedom coming to God's children. Okay.
So we got some freedom now.
All right. The slavery to decay.
Yeah.
See, well, that's that old mindset.
That old cycle of
that
sin.
Old, yeah. And we're still convinced that's how it's got to be.
Yeah.
But in the new creation, we've been freed from that cycle. Okay? Because it's no longer sin and death. We've been made free from the law of sin and death.
That's right.
By the, what's that? It was in, I ought to read it, it's right there in Romans 8. For the law of life of the Spirit in Christ Jesus
has made us free from the law of sin and death. That's right.
Okay, continuing on here, verse 22. To this day, we are aware of the universal agony and groaning of creation, as if it were in the contractions of labor for childbirth. And it's not just creation. We who have already experienced the first fruits of the Spirit also inwardly groan as we passionately long to experience our full status as God's sons and daughters, including our physical bodies being transformed, for this is the hope of our salvation.
That's good. Even the transforming of our bodies.
Yeah.
I think that's something may be wrong, but scripture really doesn't say when.
No.
In other words, what we got in Christ, we got it.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
Now, just depends on what we can believe for. Let me grab that other Bible.
Well, now I'm going to look it up here. Get out of there and get to where I need to be here.
God has given us a Zoe. And you can live as full and deep in it as you want. As you're willing to believe for. As you're able to see and believe for. Zoe.
Alright. I did read it. It just got translated different.
Yeah, I knew you did.
Verse 20.
Okay.
For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God.
Yeah. See, subjected in hope.
Yes. All right. We have been. And when we awaken fully into it, creation participates in it.
Yes.
It goes back to Adam being king of the earth.
Yes.
He followed the proper chain of authority there.
Yes.
And so, he wants us to experience it.
So when I have a spirit of optimism, I feel like that's the Lord. I'm looking for more and better.
Yeah.
A brighter future. I'm saying that's of God. That's the Spirit. But he has subjected even the creation in hope.
Right.
In hope of what? The resurrection. This new life, this world that we're talking about, this wonderful world that we live in, coming fully into the purpose and plan of God. Living under an open heaven.
Yeah.
That's where we are as children of God. As we learn to walk with him and move with him through life and experience the blessings of the life that is ours in Christ, that shared life, that resurrected life, that life-giving life, that transforming of the atmosphere life. When you come into a room, that kind of life is ours. Do you know Jesus, he transformed the atmosphere of a room when he walked into
it. Oh, yeah.
Sometimes it was a bad response, and other times it was a good response, but he brought such a presence.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like the gentleman we visited with in Magnolia that day. I sensed a weightiness about him, an authority, however you might want to say that. But that's what I'm saying. When we come into our sonship, being children of God, changing the world that we live in, affecting the culture, the society, and what you just said, it ultimately affects the creation.
Yes.
It brings in it. The blessing that's flowing out of us flows down the hem of the garment and hits the earth.
Yeah, yeah. Well, if I loop back to our conversation about patience, the subjected in hope, you can wait in patience with hope.
Yes.
That as it is today, it won't always be like this. Things are changing and will change.
That's right.
But can I have hope?
Yeah. Hope for tomorrow.
Yeah. Can I have hope in the middle of an overwhelming situation, or in the face of impossible odds?
Any kind of reversal.
Yeah.
I think we've all experienced reversals.
Yeah.
Well, no, all we're saying is there's just more.
There is more. Can you have hope for more? Yeah. Or do you believe it's getting worse? Or it's just always going to be like it's always been?
Yeah. I've heard that, man. It's always been like that. Well, maybe it is.
Well, I'll agree the human condition has always been the human condition. But the good news is that we're no longer under the Adamic condition. We have a hope that things are different and can be different.
That's right.
And that hope is Christ.
Yeah. In you.
In you.
The hope of glory.
Yeah.
Christ in the nations. That's what Paul said in Colossians. That's the good news. That's why, how'd he say it? We tell every man. It's our desire to grow up every man in Christ.
To present every
man
complete in Christ.
That's it.
Yeah.
Every man.
Hope's one of the three abiding spiritual gifts.
Faith, hope, and love.
Yeah. And it's extremely powerful.
Yeah. Thinking about faith. About faith.
You move from hope to faith?
No. Well,
you circle it.
No, it's faith, hope, and love.
Wow, man.
Yeah, just going with the thought.
Okay. I thought we was on hope.
We are. We're going to get there.
I thought we was on faith earlier. No, we was on love. I started with love. It's patience.
You forget I can edit.
I know, but this is the fun part.
What?
Me aggravating you.
Oh, okay.
But love is patient. I'm reminding you, love is patient. And love believes all things and hopes all things. Mm-hmm. So,
backwards or forwards, and hope's in the middle.
Yeah. So now we're going to talk about love believing all things, which is faith, just, which is energized by.
It's just getting down into the hope.
Yeah.
Faith is not something we do to get God to do something back to us. Faith is what happens to us when we realize what God has already done for us. And my thought was, if we get that revelation and faith happens to us, out of that revelation grows this hope and love. I mean, it's all feeding off of the revelation of God and what He's done in Christ.
Yes.
That's all I wanted to say.
Okay. You're done. We're done.
No, I'm talking about the hope. We'll get back to hope. Faith, hope, and love.
Yeah. No, that's good, James. That's good. If I do give you a hard time. Yeah, because of what Christ has done, we do have hope.
Yeah, He is hope. Yeah, sometimes it's hard to get all that in there when you have to edit out your harassing. So I just have to leave it in there.
Yeah, well, that's what you really look for is those moments anyway.
I'm glad you feel that way.
Oh, yes, yes. It's all good.
Maybe God is patient.
He is patient.
As we come into faith and learn to hope and believe for change that ultimately changes societies and cultures and the world. Because I'm reminded of a verse that says, and there's a couple, maybe three different places in the Old Testament. It talks about the knowledge of the glory of the Lord will fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. Now, Scripture says, if I'm not mistaken, that the earth is filled with the glory of the Lord.
Yeah.
But the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, one day the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters.
Yes.
Cover the sea. So there is my hope. There is my optimism. There is my faith to believe things can be better.
Yes.
And they will. They're going to get better.
Hey, thanks for listening to us talk about how we're finding our way. We hope it helps you find your way in experiencing the goodness of our Heavenly Father, the abundant life Jesus shares with us now, and the immeasurable love He has for everyone. For more information or to contact us, go to our website at findingourway.co.